Welcome to Redeeming Qualities, a casual conversation between idiots. I'm joined today with Musty Mark and Dirty Dan. Fellas, introduce yourselves. Oh, wait. I am Fat As Fez. Now introduce yourselves.
Yeah, you're not just going to insult us. My name is Mark Boyd, Rastafari Unicorn on Instagram, Sad Boy Mark on Spotify. It's a pleasure.
Dirty Dan, a.k.a. Dabin Dinas. No real social media following.
Okay.
All right. Love the energy. All right.
It's fucking early, man. It's fucking early.
That is true. Like, a little different than usual. Usually we, you know, recording in the afternoon, we're all fully awake. This time we're just getting our coffee and getting started. We're trying something new. We'll see how it works. Do you guys have any topics you want to hit up front?
Do I have any topics? I mean, I can just tell you about the court date right now. You know, get that right out the way. I did sign exclusivity, so.
Oh, never mind then. Don't talk about it.
Yeah. Let's be quiet now.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll say this. I can say this. I was on a court TV show. I filmed a court TV show. I can't go into it super deep, but I will say that it was a really dope experience. It'll be coming out in September. The show was called Relative Justice. It was with me and my cousin, and we had a really dope time. We went to Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, and shot, and the crew was awesome. They were all dope. Everyone was cool as hell, and you know, like, it was an amazing experience. Okay,
you said it's called Relative Justice, and you did it with your cousin. Is this kind of a play on words where it has to be your relative, or am I just looking too deep into that?
I mean, the theory of relativity. If we want to jump into that, I mean, yeah, it's relative. I mean, relative justice. I mean, yes, it is that.
But I mean, I could take somebody who's not my relative to this thing.
Oh, yeah. It just happened to be my cousin. Yeah.
Okay.
It just happened to be my cousin. So, wow, that was deep, actually. But no, it's like justice is relative to shit. But it's not like, but a lot of people did bring their family members, which is kind of crazy. So, yeah. Most people, it was family. So, that's hilarious. And there was a super dope thing that happened.
Okay.
While we were in the, there was a driver that was driving us back and forth, and he was super cool. And he told us stories about, like, back getting out of jail and, like, how he used to rob banks. Do you want to hear this shit?
Yes. Of course, I want to hear this.
So, this guy robs banks. Do you want to hear about it?
Maybe it's a snooze fest. My fault. Okay, cool. So we asked him. He was like, "Yep, you got your first time on TV." And we were like, "Yeah." And we were like, "Last time I was on TV, I was in cuffs." And we were like, "What? What show? Cops?" And he was like, "No, the nightly news, like Channel 6, right?" And so then he goes into like, "Yeah, man, my stuff almost made national." We were like, "Well, what'd you do? You know? And did you kill somebody? Did you rob a bank?" And he was like, "That's one of the things that they accused me of." Right? We were like, "What the hell?" And so then he was like, "Do you know how to break a safe?" And so then he just becomes a hilarious person from here. He was like, "Yeah, there's only one way to break a safe. You need two people. You need one guy to go to the bank manager's house and hold his family and his wife hostage, and then you need the other guy to take them to the bank and have him open the safe."
I mean,
wow. Okay, you know what?
That sounds like the best plan I've heard.
Right.
Okay. So I'll say this.
The morals out the window.
Way more believable than 90% of the movies. It's like, this is genius. All
right.
Okay.
So he laughs, but he's like, "No, that's not how I did it though." So then he goes into what he did, right? All right. He said that he would get a Ryder truck. Okay. You know, a Ryder truck, like, it's like a U-Haul company, but it's like they have different type of trucks. Well, the difference with a Ryder truck is that you can enter the cab from the actual back of the vehicle, right? So you can just open the door and jump right in, right? He parked that about a few blocks down the street, right, from the bank. He put on a pull-away tracksuit, okay? He had a pull-away tracksuit and a radio on his hip, right? He rode a 10-speed, a bike, up to the bank, walks into the bank, pulls out a gun to the teller, and says, "Hey, count out $10,000 and fucking don't make any noise. I have a radio thing in my ear. I can hear if you call the police. I don't want to hurt anybody. Just put the money in the fucking bag." The lady counts it out, puts it in his bag. He puts it in his bag, goes outside, jumps on his 10 speed, rides away, pulls the jumper off. He has clothes underneath, rides right up the ramp, closes it up, goes in the car and drives right the fuck off, bro. 10 man's like that, dude.
Wow. Dude, that is like some spy TV.
Tenet. Like, that was like Tenet. Did you watch the movie Tenet?
I have not, but there used to be a video game. I want to say it's like Spy Racer or something. And you'd have an objective in this car and you would go get it or, you know, destroy this other car. And at the end, you'd have to like ride up into a semi truck. And that was like the whole premise of the game. And you just kept getting dropped off and doing that. But
yes.
Wasn't there a movie with one of the Ryan dudes? One of the, you know, the, I can't remember. It was a bank robbery one. And he did that exact same thing, except it was with a dirt bike. He went
That was a great movie.
That was a fucking good movie. That's what I thought of.
Where the pines live, or where the pines are, something like that. Tall pines, something like that. But dude, that was a sick ass movie, bro.
Was that a British movie? Was that a British movie?
No, dude. But in the movie, he goes, he finds like a rural ass bank in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
And then there's all these woods and stuff. And he does the same shit. He robs this bank in a way more complex way than homie did, but like robs this bank and then takes off through the woods, jumps into his little rider truck, rides up in the back, and then they're in the deal and then they take off.
It's Where the Pine Streams Go with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
And like that was a generational thing, because then his son grew up fucked up, and then the other dude that put him in jail, his son grows up and tries to make it, and then his son, I love movies about like the curses of our fathers, kind of. Like generationally, there's, you know, you get passed down either a shadow over you, or you get passed down like something else because of the way that your father lived. And they just show how that, I love shit like that, dude. And that's what that movie was pretty much about. But that shit was sick, man. Good ass movie.
Yeah. No, my wife has told me that like so many times, like, you know, like raising kids, like you can't tell your kids what you want them to be. You can only show them how to be. And I'm like, damn, I was like, that sucks, because that means I got to be better. And that's
right. That's the biggest challenge.
I can't just tell them. I can't just talk to them. I have to actually be a better human.
And that's like one of the biggest things, too. Like, I know, like, you know, like in the beginning of the episodes, I never talked about social media. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest reasons, like, yeah, I say it's a time waster. But you know what? The thing that used to bother me the most is when I would be on Facebook or watching something, or, you know, like, post, you know, not trolling somebody, but arguing with somebody on Facebook, and my kids would be like, hey, Dad. I was like, hold on a second. I get frustrated with them for interrupting me on Facebook. And I was like, God, that's disgusting. I hate that person. So that's the reason. That's one of the huge reasons I got off Facebook, because, like, the guy on Facebook wasn't the father he needed to be. I'd rather something be a small distraction, and the rest of my days my family, so. I think that's just so good, too, because, like, we mess up all the time. It's sad.
Dude, I had an epiphany, and I ride back because I couldn't even be on my phone. And I was like, patting myself on the back, because I'm like, oh, man, I'm so connected, you know, knowing what's going on.
Hold on, Mark. I can't hear you. Something's going on.
It's on your end. I got them perfectly clear.
I think it was on your end, Danny.
Were you rollerblading?
That's what it sounded like. It sounded like rollerblading, or like a shopping cart on that, with that sound. Whatever that sound is.
Coffee maker? God, you are easily distracted. And me and Mark are ADHD.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to survive through that. But now that we know that it's a coffee maker, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We should be selling that.
So you let me know next time. I'll sit down in a padded room that's all super silent.
No. I mean, I understand as an editor fucking having an annoying ass noise in the back.
Sorry. But
what you should have?
I'm at my place, Danny. And it echoes really loud.
You should just have Danny edit it one time and fucking then we'll
Yes. I think I'd love to do that. Segments and he gets it, like, cut out background noise like the sink and all that. Yeah. I got it.
Let's do it. Well, it'll be released in a couple of weeks.
Okay. season 5 coming out after season 19.
All right. So anyways, Mark, go ahead. You're saying you had an epiphany?
Oh, but like, I'm not trying to draw this all out, but just like pretty much being on your phone, you know, you're connected to a whole bunch of people that are not even talking their truth, but you're fucking not being present with the people right there. So technically you're disconnected, you know, you're distracted. That was all. It's the simple thing.
Did I tell you about the dude I was driving down the road? And there's like a kid. I'm pretty sure he just got his license. He couldn't have been older than 16. Driving down the freeway at like freeway speeds on his phone, swiping through Instagram. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like with his phone straight up in front of his face, one hand on the wheel. And like, I'm right next to him. And I'm like, wait, pass him. Slow down, look over. I'm like, no shit. He's actually just sitting there on Instagram, clicking, you know, double clicking, liking shit. I'm like, this kid's like 16. I think
you're not
everybody...
that good of a driver yet, bro.
Exactly. I'm like, and then people were talking about there's going to be some sort of technology that people were arguing and fighting about that would block phones from being able to receive or send signals while they're in the car, except for emergency. And I have to say, at that moment, I was like, you know what? I kind of support it. Like, I don't use my phone when I'm driving. And that only happened after having children, you know, because I'm like, you'd look away for 3 seconds. If Fez was talking about the other day, if something tragic were to happen to my family and it was my fault and it was because I'm looking at fucking Instagram or something, I'd lose my shit. So I think it's kind of crazy the addiction that the social media has caused, because everybody I see, you know, it's the second you can reach into your pocket to grab your phone, you pull it out and jump on the internet and look at what some other fuck's doing, you know?
It's weird. Pretty gross, yeah.
When there's so much good stuff happening in your life, and that's what people like,
woo!
They don't realize, like, every day, so much good happens in your life. I don't care who you are, like, you know, you might be, like, you know, downtrodden or whatever, but there's so much good that happens in people's life.
Yeah, it just depends on what you're choosing to value, right? Like, somebody once told me that if you look at where somebody spends their money, you'll see where they put their priorities. And I have to say that that's got to be one of the most true things ever. Like, you'll know somebody right away based off of what type of things they're willing to, like the people that, you know, want to eat well or do whatever. And I think it's an interesting metric to measure people by.
Wow. That's good. I was just trying to buy Logic Pro right now.
Yeah, so that shows me where your priorities are. Like, yeah. It shows the type of things that people do for themselves, you know? Like, most people, when they spend their money, like me, if you look at where I spend, like, I'm kind of frugal most of the time. I don't like to spend much money. But then give me some nerd shit, and I'm blowing way more money than I should be.
Mm. He's just in arguments. You have like so much money in the bank, but you're in an argument because you bought some new paint for your Warhammer 40K.
I mean, so that's the thing. I justify. I budget everything. I'm a dweeb, man. So I like budget everything. I budget my marijuana expenditures. You know, I'm like, I know what I can spend monthly on weed. And people are like, yo, why is your car a piece of shit? Like, don't you make decent money? And I'm like, well, yeah, but like if I go get a different car, I spend less money on weed. You know, and I'm like, I'd rather have weed than a car, because cars are for other people to think you're a fucking somebody, you know? I'm like, when I step out of it and I walk in the street, I'm still the same dude.
Let's go.
Nobody's gonna be like, hey, you drive a piece of shit car when I'm walking down the street, you know?
Yeah.
They'll just
look at
make
you,
fun. That's
like a 97 yeah. Acura.
Right. They're just gonna make fun of me for looking like a skinny bitch, you know? Like,
and there's enough material there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what my favorite thing is? When people try to tell you how you're spending your money is wrong. I buy organic food. I know a lot of people like, oh, organic, you know, it's no different, all this. I feel like there's a difference. I enjoy the taste, but how we offset that is we don't go eat out. We eat all at home. And, you know, if you eat out five times a month with, you know, four kids, that's about like $600. So
holy,
you know,
shit. I'd rather eat fucking excellently at home.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, people who, like, will discount me buying organic will also go out and eat and just be like, you're like, oh, it's so expensive. It's like, well, I can afford it because I don't go out and eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Eating it, and you cook it exactly the way that you ought to your palate. Like,
yes.
Well, and once you're eating at home all the time, you go out and eat. If you go out and eat in a not good place, you're super pissed. I have to pay
angry.
You for that.
Yes. Angry.
I have to pay you
right?
for that fucking travesty you just put on my plate. This is all you tried to make this as cheap as possible for me. Fuck you.
And the worst is steak when it's not cooked right. When you're like, I want medium rare, and you cut it and there's not an ounce of blood, even a little teeny bit of blood that comes out, oh, I'm not happy.
No, it's not cool. Yeah.
No. Yeah, so I enjoy cooking at home. So that's a good point, all those.
Yeah, love it.
I went on this little, I'm going to be the home chef type of kick, right? And what I realized is I can't say that I'm preferring the home cooked stuff as much anymore after doing it myself, because the shit can get fucking expensive. Have you ever tried to follow a specific recipe?
Oh, man. You know what, guys? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take a picture of my spice cabinet just so you can see. Yeah, it is just like you buy paints and you see the cost of that. You guys are going to get a little bit of a...
I actually can cook, Danny. I don't got you there because when I follow a recipe, I do it pretty well if it comes out.
No, I can too. I'm pretty good at cooking. I'm not trying to say that I'm not. And as a self-deprecation type of person, like usually I shit on myself.
Right.
But
right.
No. But I can actually do it. But what I'm saying is I can't justify doing, like, I like to find these fancy ass menu items of shit that I want to try, right? Like, hey, let's make this random thing on the cooking channel or whatever it may be. But what I notice is by the time I go to the grocery store and I buy all the shit that I need for it to happen, like granted, like Fez, I have a shit ton of spices too, but there's always some kind of ingredient you got to get for some specific dish. And by the time I go out there and find it, I'm spending like $40 on the grocery ingredient list. Granted, it gives you a little bit more food, but like, I'm spending $40 to do the work and then eat the food. And then half the time I could just go out somewhere that's going to make food better than me and spend $20. So like I, because of cooking myself food so much, I realized that I don't think I'm saving that much money.
But you have
to cook for a basketball team. So that makes sense.
I do. And I'll disagree with you there. What you're saying is trying a new recipe. It's a high initial expense, but it's like, okay, you got to go buy turmeric, right?
Turmeric
is there forever.
So I didn't have to buy it. Exactly.
So you build dishes. That's my point.
I haven't bought spices or anything. I'm just talking about like, you got to get a shallot. You got to get two things of spinach. You got to get three lamb cutlets. You got to get like, by the time you're done adding like, you buy one piece of meat, there's $10 to $20 for two people to eat, right? Like almost immediately, almost any kind of meat. Like unless you do chicken, you could probably do it for a little bit cheaper. We'll call it $10. You get two chicken breasts. It's like at that point, I got two chicken breasts for $10. I could go to a restaurant and I can eat something for $12 and I just lose one chicken breast. But guess what? I didn't have to cook it or do anything. So I get my money back in my time, and that's why I fucking suck, man. My brain is too cheap.
It's very hard choosing. I get stuck.
I won't eat Italian food because Italian food to me is the least cost effective food to purchase. Because you think about like Italian food's like
sauce,
ridiculous. It's sauce and fucking noodles, and they put barely any meat in there and charge you $40. Fuck Italian food, dude. But it's delicious. That's the problem.
I'll agree with you on certain
that's
foods.
Good.
To go out
that's
for.
Funny.
This is going to show you how cheap I am.
$3 of noodles for $40. Fuck you.
I agree with you on that. But the fact that you're buying chicken breast shows you how well consumerism has you fooled, because two things of chicken breast is more expensive than a whole chicken.
Of course it is. I was that just makes... throwing out hypotheticals, Fez. I'm not like...
No, I'm just saying, I get what you're saying, exactly.
I don't even like the chicken breast the most. I realize you could buy a whole chicken, rotisserie chicken, for $5.
You can buy a whole rotisserie chicken and cut it. You can buy multiple chickens and cut it.
Did you forget
yourself.
The part where I said I don't want to do the fucking work? I want to walk in, I want to eat food, and I want somebody else to take my dishes away.
Yeah, you can never, you can't say it's cheaper when it's not. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't say it was cheaper. I said after realizing all of these things, I can't say that like that is my thing anymore, because after doing it for a while, I'm like, okay, well, it takes all this time. Like I cook a meal and then do the dishes afterward. I'm 2 hours in. Right.
I agree with that a little bit. I mean, look, we're talking about the convenience and the luxury. I mean, like, if you are a super, if you're somebody that is super busy, it does, it actually hurts you. If you're somebody making money at a certain rate, it actually hurts you to stop and do your laundry. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
sometimes
if you could pay, if you could pay somebody to do it, yeah,
right, and you're actually saving yourself the time and in turn the money. And I'm not saying about every meal, but dude, for me, sometimes it is like, yo, if I get in my car, drive to a grocery store right now, stand in the line, find parking, stand in line, is for city living, and it's not like a simple thing for everything, and then everybody's everywhere all the time, and then the traffic back, the stress I'm going through to like do all that to cook if I haven't got groceries already is sometimes it gives you anxiety to the point where it's like, I might as well just get fucking delivery, bro, because I'm gonna put myself through fucking hell just to do this shit.
And see, the delivery part, I can't even do that. That goes back to me being the cheap bitch.
Or what? I mean, I'm not. But then, or what? Popping something in the oven. I'm just saying, there's anxiety in grabbing food sometimes. Why can't we just kill shit, man? I'm trying to just kill a rabbit walking across, man. I'm about to get a fucking a gun or a fucking a bow and arrow and go ham on these squirrels.
I mean, squirrels pretty good.
I tell you, one of the things I do to offset the cost is I buy a whole cow. And, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's what you said. You used your stimmy on a cow this year.
Well, you're not joking.
No.
Yeah.
What do you do with the cow? What do you do with it? How do you get it? Where, how do you keep it?
So first off, I don't keep it. I buy it directly, and then they charge you by hanging weight. And then the other thing that they can't do is I can't buy direct from a farmer, but the farmer that I buy, they go through a legitimate butcher. And they got all that cost, and part of that cost that you pay is absorbed by that butcher cost. And so you get it basically straight from the farmer, but back to you. So, yeah, I
didn't even know you could do that, dude. So you're getting prime steak from the same cow. Do you know their name?
Do you know?
No, I don't know their name, but that doesn't bother me because I used to go brand cows and we tagged their ears when I was a little kid.
It's funny you say, did you know the name? Because when I was a kid, we had a friend that had farm and it, like, bunch of cows on it. And it was it's his dad's, obviously. And his dad was a cop, Officer Jones. And I'm like, you know, I don't like cops in the first place. So I'm always already uncomfortable around him because I was a piece of shit kid. And we go out to his place and he's like, yeah, check it out. And I'm like, oh, this is rad. And we're running around. We got slingshots and BB guns and shit. And we're running around this farm. And we like, I don't know why, but Luke, the dude's son, just starts fucking with the cows, you know, and me, I'm dumb. And I'm like, yeah, let's fuck with cows. So we're like shooting slingshots at cows. And like the cows are running all around in this pasture. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, I didn't realize cows could move like that. You know, like I've never really gone in there and pissed off a bunch of cows. And one of the cows who happened to be named Big Mac tried to jump out of the pen. He didn't try. He did. Like, they can fucking jump, man. I didn't know, like, cows could probably jump over the moon. The nursery rhyme's making sense to me now. But he jumped up over the fence, but, like, caught his belly on the top of the fence.
Oh, no.
And it was, like, yeah, and it was, like, barbed. So it gouged him open. You know, we're like, we were chasing the cow, and he jumped out there. And later that week, everybody was eating Big Mac for the next couple months. I had to put it down. I remember it was kind of funny. Big Mac was his name, and he just happened to be the one to go down. And I'm like sitting there the next time we visit, and they're like, yeah, that's Big Mac you're eating.
You want another Big Mac?
Right?
Big Mac for you?
I'm like, damn. We
that's
did
my
this.
Favorite part.
And then they feed it to us to make us feel like shit, you know?
Well,
you're going to eat that fucking thing you killed.
You did this, bitch.
Yeah,
they had already named it Big Mac, so you knew it was going to be food eventually.
Well, yeah, that's true. I didn't feel as bad, but
yeah, they put like if they would have named it Quarter Pounder with Cheese, I mean, like they could have named it all kinds of.
That's amazing.
You ever see that news reporter try to read? He was reading an article about a pig, and the pig's name was Crispy Bacon,
and he couldn't stop laughing.
He lose it. That's me, bro. I would have lost my shit too.
Dude, that's the thing too. Like, so I didn't grow up in South Dakota or North Dakota. I grew up in Wyoming. Clarify that.
Might as well be a Dakota.
That's its own thing. But anyways, me and Ramon, you guys all met him. So I'll go ahead and tell the story. We had like a little quick job helping brand cattle one time, and those things, you know, they go through a chute, and the kind of the chute pins them, and they brand them, and you know, you tag their ears so that way the farmer can keep track of his cattle. That way, you know, rustlers don't steal their cattle or whatever.
Okay.
I remember Ramon, you know, he was the one that got me the job. I was going to get paid like $25. So, you know, something pretty amazing to an 8-year-old. And we had a cattle prod because the cows won't move into the chute because, I mean, obviously they're smart enough to realize like, hey, when you go into that chute, the cow in the front is hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So Ramon was cattle prodding this cow. And he's like, I don't think this thing's working. And he's like pulling the trigger. He's like, no, I don't think it's working. But, you know, it has to make a connection. It's not like you can just buzz it in the air.
Yeah.
So like skin to skin, it does it. So Ramon's bright idea. He's like, okay, I'm going to test this thing on my shoe. And he had these white Adidas. He put it to his foot, pulled the trigger, and it made a pop and it blew up.
The end of the shoe. Yeah.
blew the end of the shoe. So the $30 he made could even buy the shoes that he destroyed. Jesus. Oh, that poor kid. I laughed so hard. He wanted to beat the shit out of me. Oh, man. He looked like he had murder in his eyes when I was laughing at him.
Absolutely hilarious.
So, Fez, let me ask you this. So you watched Seaspiracy, right? You saw some people killing dolphins, and now you don't even eat anything out of the fucking water. But you worked on a cattle ranch, fucking branding cattle, and you buy cows.
No. So what you don't understand is the dolphins was sad, but the fact that in Wyoming, you're not out there killing grizzly bears because they might eat the deer. Cattle are there, you know what I'm saying? And the plains of Wyoming and all of that supported over 30 million buffalo. I don't know the number, but the wildlife out there supports a massive amount of grazing animals. So it's not really hurting the environment.
But are you concerned about the decrease in dung beetles, though?
No, I don't give a shit about that. What I am concerned about is the 6-mile wide nets that they drag on the bottom of the ocean times, you know, 30 different large ships doing this every day and basically destroying the Amazon forest every single day. So it's like,
I remember that
it's
part.
Are you worried about one vehicle driving down the road, or are you worried about the totalitarian or the conglomerate of everybody's vehicle? You get what I'm saying? And
that's
the difference between the cow and that. And the other thing that it is like when you see somebody poisoning on the ground, you can see it, and there's people are like fighting to stop it. When a boat is dragging something in the water, you're like, I don't know what they're doing, and just go about your day. So absolutely, but I mean, I still think it's fucked up that these Asians are over there herding up these dolphins, killing them, and not even like eating them or doing anything with them. That's a waste.
You might as well eat them, right? Like,
I would say you should eat them. I mean, if you're gonna kill them, they should be eaten. But you know, just like your friend, he's like, oh, got caught in the net, chop off the tail, throw it back in the ocean. I get it. Other fish are going to eat it. But yeah, it seems like a waste to me.
I just eat beef because I'm trying to help with climate change. You know, I'm trying to keep that down. I heard that cows are the main contributing factor to global warming.
Bigger aspects of that is our landfills. The way we can actually impact that is if you do your own composting. So like you eat a lemon, you throw that in the trash and it gets put down, you know, it gets buried underground. It still has to decompose.
Releases those acids and shit.
Yeah, it has to release all that biodegrading. And so these landfills are massive amount of areas where composting is not happening like it would in like nature or like falls. The dung beetles and stuff are eating it, or, you know, animals are eating it, pooping, and the dung beetles get to it. No, all of that food is decomposing without the ability for nature to, you know.
And plastic takes like 15 years to happen anyway. Plastic takes like forever for you to, you know, to break down.
That's one thing that, like, after the study came that showed we have microplastics inside of our system.
In the air.
Dude, and we still use the shit nonstop. It's like kind of mind blowing to me, and then kind of not at the same time. And one thing that I'm starting to realize is I think where you live and the people, well, especially the people you surround yourself with, but where you live, I think has a huge impact on, like, your viewpoint of those different things. Because what I realize is, go into the city of Seattle and people have a different mindset. And then you go to the suburbs and like, people will legitimately be fucking angry that they can't get a plastic bag or something. Or they'll be like, a restaurant will be like, hey, we don't do plastic straws, you know? And they're like, well, fuck you, you pieces. This is fucking America, you know? And it's like, whoa, dude.
But I also feel like there's an incorrectness. So like, what are these gigantic nets that's being like dredging the bottom of the ground? One is more plastic straws than the entirety of America uses. So I feel like it's dumb what we get wrapped around when there's more issues. And I'm not kidding you. One of these nets is more than all the plastic straws.
That's fucking crazy.
Wow.
And now you kind of start to see why I don't want to eat or support seafood stuff that's doing more damage than could possibly know. And then guess what happens when a net breaks? What do you think they do with it?
They just leave it there. Out. They just, of course they just do.
Leave it? Yeah.
Cut it. Of course they do. That's,
dude, that's, first of all, that's what every it's disgusting. And I've thought about that. Man, you're going to make me quit eating seafood now. When I went, Mark, you remember when we went out to the Pele Lu?
Yes. Yeah.
So, Fez, Mark and I, we were going to do Iron Fist, but we were going as liaison for the Navy. So it was just Mark and I. We went out to, where did we fly from? Pendleton?
Yes, we flew from Pendleton.
So, oh, shit. This is a good story. I forgot about all that. But so Mark and I, that's when Mark's call sign was Sally, and we were driving through the valley freestyling with Sally. We're running late. You remember we were running late? We got that. Lost. We got lost trying to get to this place.
I thought you did that on purpose.
No, fuck no, man. I was all excited. But let's GPS says go through this random ass mountainous road. And we drive out there. And by the time we get to the flight deck, the bird is like blade spinning, ready to go. Right. And we're like, ah, fuck. And me and Mark are running out there with our gear. Jump on the helicopter. The helicopter flies us out to the Pele Lu. And we go on to the Pele Lu, and it's like, you know, my first time on ship. Mark, I think it was his first time on ship. Mm-hmm. And we're like, at first, we're like, it's kind of dope, you know? So we're going around and we're checking out all the stuff. And it's like, these things are fucking huge, right? Like 6 hours into it, you're over it. It fucking sucks after that.
You've gone like, everywhere.
Right?
You everything.
You did everything. You saw everybody fighting. You saw, like, you tried to go to the gym and the boat's rocking while you're trying, like, all of the different things. You're over it in 6 hours. You're like, fuck this boat. I'm
this
done.
This shit is trash. How long am I here for? Right. Like 18 months?
Yeah.
You're fucking insane, bro. I gotta get out of this bitch.
We're there for 9 days losing our shit, you know? We're like, fuck, these people are hard. Like, I can't do this. But so I remember we're like, we couldn't tell what time of day it was. Like, I don't remember why they sent us there. I don't think we ever did any work. Like, I remember I'd go talk to some O's and then I'd be like, all right, if you need me, I'll be over here. And then me and Mark would just run around and do whatever we wanted. But we lost track of time because, you know, it's dark and there's never, you don't have windows. So we would always just go out to like where the smokers would go to look out and get some fresh air. And I remember looking over the side of the ship one time and I was like, yo, dude, like, we just lost a bunch of garbage. You know, there's fucking garbage.
Yes.
Everywhere. Just fucking every. And I'm like, dude, what? Like, we lost. And one of the sailors is like,
no, we dumped that.
Yeah. What do you mean? No, we dumped it. And I'm like, wait, what? And that's when I realized, he's like, yeah, if you're 50 miles off the coast, you dump it. And I'm like, wait a second. And apparently that's like a thing for every single country. We go. And we just, like, all of these ships, you got thousands of fucking, you know, soldiers, sailors, seamen, whatever, all consuming shit nonstop.
Eating.
And chucking it into the ocean. Like, it's fucking disgusting.
That's so bad, bro. That is, and I remember being like, we are
do this?
Awful.
Right?
Trash,
but
dude.
Then we want to go around and be like, hey, China, you need to keep your emissions down. Like, fuck that. Like, we are shitty too.
Shitting. This huge thing.
Yeah.
I'm shitting and this thing is shitting out. This trash, bro.
Fez, I'm talking like dumpster, like, you know, the big
tons.
Green rolling dumpsters, like multiples of those going out at once.
You don't have to tell me. I've already given up on seafood. Minus seaweed. Minus seaweed. I think seaweed is trash, but my kids eat it, so that's the only thing I'll get them.
It's like there's no efficient way for you guys to port more often to fucking to go and dump this shit somewhere. But then where would it even go? Where would it even go? They would dump it back in the ocean or push it somewhere into the earth. This space is so...
But
you're not burning it? Why can't you burn it and turn it into fuel on the fucking thing or something? Like, come on, bro.
I'll throw this out there. Biodegradable, like the shit, the waste, the food, all that in the ocean, it would get eaten. It would get consumed. But yeah, the plastics and all the other stuff, that's the issues. But yeah, like your shit in the ocean, perfectly fine. I know it's gross.
Well, of course.
But I mean, and this is going to sound terrible, my favorite foods from the ocean all eat shit.
It's ocean shit.
Basically, lobsters, shrimp, crabs, they eat that and they're delicious, but they eat a lot of dookie. It's terrible, but they're delicious. It's weird.
Maybe we should be eating some shit, man.
I don't think our bodies are designed for that.
I want to be a lobster, man. Fuck this, bro. King crab, son.
Food's way cheaper if you think about it. If you're getting that level of food, you can eat like
you
a
are
king.
So efficient.
Right, if you actually enjoy it.
Those coffee connoisseurs that eat the poop that come out of the jaguar's butts or something like that.
It's a lemur or something. There's
Excuse me?
Yeah, there's lemur shit coffee or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, he can't keep saying it, Danny. Something eats a coffee bean and it shits it out, and then people.
He can't keep saying it, Danny. Mark, speaking of which, do you remember we went to go? I don't know if we went to go like take the truck to go four wheeling or if we went to go shooting and just ended up doing some four wheeling. Do you remember when we did that in Joshua Tree, the national park?
I remember that. Yeah.
Fez, so Mark is like, "Hey, man, let's do something." I'm like, "What do you want to do?" He's like, "I have no idea," and I'm like, "Well, I mean, I got some guns and we'd go out into the desert and go shoot." And he's like, "All right, man, cool. We'll go do that. Go out, drive through the desert back there. And like, there's this really crazy trail."
First off, you drove with the Tacoma and literally climbed rocks all the way back there deep as fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so
so I was scared. I was like, "Are you about to kill me?"
You're trying to build up to the part where you thought I was going to kill you.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
Fez, mind you, this is Mark and I are like, we're just getting to know each other at this point. So he's like, "Mark, we're driving out there and we get, like he's saying, it's gnarly ass rock crawling through." I have my Tacoma all geared up for doing like four-wheel drive off-road shit, right? And we get back there, we start doing the shooting stuff. And then get done shooting, come back, and we're driving back the way we came, get through all the hard part. And then when it hits like the open sandy desert portion, I'm driving. I'm like, "Oh, fuck it. We might as well have some fun." And I'm like going probably like 45 in these tight little sandy roads. And I get up to a corner that I got a brake for, and I go to hit the brakes, and the brakes don't work, dude. Like, I'm pressing the brakes and the truck is not slowing down. And I'm like, "Mark, my brakes are out." He's like, "What do you mean your brakes are out?" I was like, "My brakes aren't working." And he's like, "What do you mean they're not working?" And I'm like, "Mark, I don't know how the fuck else to tell you. Like, I pushed the goddamn brake pedal and it doesn't fucking stop the truck, you know?" And he's just like sitting there. Luckily, it was a stick shift and I like downshifted and everything. But I had to drive. We drove all the way back to my place. With a fucking snap brake line.
That's like five times. Like, do you mean like they are malfunctioning in a way that you can stop, like, but you can't break them? No brake fluid?
What kind of way are you trying, though? Like, did you push it with both feet? Or are you like, did you push it harder? You know, and he's just like going on. And then I remember we get back to the house, you know, the car's rolling in. We can't even hit the stop signs, like, without blowing through. We're like trying to make sure we don't hit anything. And Mark was like, "Yeah, man, that was kind of fun." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, it was a pretty good time." He's like, "Honestly, I thought you were going to kill me." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you know, I got, like, once we started getting back there, I was like, fuck, I'm with this white boy and he's got all these guns and we're going into the middle of the desert." And then that made me realize how dangerous the desert is, because there was another time where Mark and another person who I won't name, they went out with me and Carrie to the dry lake bed that's out there to go dirt biking. And Mark, can I share this story?
Yes, man. This is a great story.
Okay. So Mark calls me one day and he's like, yo, man, I got a package coming to your house. Like, is there anything there? I'm like, no, man. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, why the fuck are you sending a package to my, you know? And he's like, well, it's acid. And I'm like, wait, what? It's like, yeah, man. And I'm like, you just had acid sent to my fucking house and you didn't even ask me first? He's like, yeah, man, but not just me, so-and-so also. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? So, like, I'm a little bit pissed, right? So I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I'm like, okay, come over and get your shit. It's all good. So they drive over to the house. They pick up their shit. And they're like, well, what are you guys about to do? And I'm like, well, we're about to go dirt bike. And they're like, well, we wanted to do this. And I'm like, oh, so now you want to fucking tag along and do this thing. And they're like, yeah, can we go? And we're like, yeah, sure. So bring them out there with us and get the dirt bikes all set up. I got a cooler with ice and beer. And Mark and the other individual sit down and they're like, okay, let's go ahead and drop our LSD, you know? And they take their shit. And I go off and I'm riding for the day, like probably gone an hour, hour and a half at this point. We come back to grab some beers and relax for a little bit. And they're just rolling, you know, they're just tripping balls. And they're like,
the mountains were melting into the ground.
Right. Dude. And they brought those can't think of the word, like kaleidoscope style glasses.
Yes. Yes.
That had like the color changing. And so I'm like, I'm watching them and, you know, I'm sober. And I'm watching these two dudes just, you know, rolling balls on acid. And they're like, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, dude, look at the mountains. You know, the typical stoner sound. And I'm just like kind of laughing at them. And then all of a sudden Mark's like, whoa, dude, look at that plane. It's like it's doing flips and shit, you know? And I'm like, well, that's because it is, you know? I'm like, I look and there's like this little plane flying over the dry lake bed and the dude's doing like barrel rolls and flips and shit. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's kind of nuts. And then all of a sudden he's like getting lower and lower. And we're like, oh shit, like he's going to land. So he lands his plane on the dry lake bed. And Carrie's like, oh dude, that's fucking cool. You know, and like runs over there to go talk to this guy. And I'm like, okay, we'll sit here, drink beer. And these guys are like rolling balls still. And they're like, just, I can't even describe what they're doing. They're just fucking out of it, you know? And I'm like, they're having a good time. I'm sitting there and I was dating Carrie at the time and the plane, like she's on the back side of the plane. And then all of a sudden I see the plane turns on, you know, the prop starts going, kicks up all the dust from the sand. And I'm like waiting to see Carrie from the back side of the plane with all the dust. Right. And like, so the plane's like, and takes off as soon as it's like leaving the ground, the dust starts settling. I'm like looking and Carrie's not there, you know? And I'm like, oh, what the fuck, you know? And like, I'm like, is she in the plane? And then Mark looks over at me and he's like, bro. And I'm like, she just went in a plane in the Mojave Desert
with
by
a
herself
dude.
With a random ass dude and flew off. Like she could literally be taken anywhere in this fucking massive desert. And like, Mark looks over at me and he's like, bro, there goes your girl. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, bro, he got a plane. What do you got? And I'm like, fuck, you're right. You know? And
I was like, I was tripping. That was so mean. But it was like, dude.
So true. He's like, he's got a plane. What the fuck do you got? I'm just, you're right, man.
I'm not shit. Meanwhile, you have two fire-ass dirt bikes and a truck. And a house you're renting, you know what I'm saying? So you have things, but at the same time, it's like, yo, a dude just came out of the air and came down and took your girl and left.
Exactly.
That
he
is
flippies.
That
he
is not right, G. Nah. Something's not okay here.
He earned it. Honestly, he earned it. You know, at that point, I'm like, all right, bro, you win. You know, your dick's bigger. I get it.
Wow. You're not even gonna come over and say nothing and say, hey, I'm about to go right. Have this crazy ass experience.
Oh, and then Carrie was telling me, she's like, yeah, the second we started going up into the air, I realized what a terrible decision I made. I was like, oh, yeah, like, it took that long to come to that realization, right? And she's like, well, and it was like, he turned around, he's like, you're pretty. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the vibe I would have thought about before getting in the plane.
Yeah, you were tripping.
Right.
All the way for doing that.
Oh, God, Mark, I forgot just how many of these ridiculous ass stories we got.
Yeah, that was out of hand. And that was my first time tripping ever. It was It's crazy.
My first trip was terrible, and it kept me from – that's what actually kept me from ever trying it with you guys. I remember you being like, hey, you want – I'm like, no, bro. Like, I'm scared.
I don't have any of those stories, those tripping stories. Not for me.
You're never going to do it?
Oh, God, no.
What? Well, Chaz wants to be a doctor and shit, so that makes sense.
I mean, not – no. No.
You'd rather have that prescription medication, right?
No, I'd rather not take – well, first off, I have kidney disease and liver disease, so I don't want to take any medication. But secondly, I just – that's never been something I've wanted in my entire life. Never.
But is it because you have never experienced it? God, well, We shouldn't even go here, because when Ramon started talking about meth, I was like, yeah, I might as well give it a shot once, right? And, like, that's not the right mentality.
So the reality of it for me is, there was, like, when I was in high school really young, there were opportunities, but I was just like, that, like, to me, the biggest deterrence was seeing people on it. And I was like, nope, I don't want it. That does not look good to me.
You care more about other people's opinions than me and Mark do, apparently.
No, because that's
not going to stop me. I see some dude gacking just because he looks retarded doesn't mean I'm not going to try it.
After a while, we did it.
I love the fact that you think it's opinion. It's like, it's my own opinion of that situation. It's like, that does not look fun. That doesn't look fun at all. I couldn't. I just never could.
But, like, realistically, sex doesn't look fun until you know it's fun.
What do you mean? Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, I want to do that. That is, yeah.
Absolutely. I think it was, for me, it was more of an instinctual thing. Like, I feel like my body knew that I was supposed to put it in something. But, like, I don't know. I think I disagree with you.
I think it's probably because you saw it between a man and a woman. If you saw a man and a man, you'd be like,
yeah, that's my thing. Let's do it. Let's get down. Are those K-Swiss he's wearing?
Oh, I like the way he did his hair for this. Yes.
Right. Oh, no, dude, I think I got a thing for hair now. As a balding middle-aged white man, I'm like, I think I'm into hair. So I prefer my dudes with long hair, you know.
I gotcha. So
No, just playing.
Sorry. I had somebody say that to, dude, when I'd play video games, back when I was playing video games, you know, you get, like, little kids in there. First, like, the internet, especially on, like, Xbox Live, it's the most racist, misogynistic, like, evil place to be. But I remember I had this little, probably, I mean, the kid must have been, like, 11 or something, talking shit to me, right? And he's just like, you know, just hit me with all these things. I'm like, you know what? I'll suck your dick, you little bitch. And I'm
That's
like,
amazing.
You know, and the kid's like, whoops, that would make you gay. I'm like, how do you figure? You know, like, I'm sucking your dick, so you're gay. And, like, the kid got so upset. I'm, like, sitting there arguing with this kid about how, like, me sucking his dick makes him gay. You know, the kid's, like, getting mad. And then I got Carrie sitting there, and she's like, who the fuck are you talking to? I'm like, there's an 11-year-old kid talking shit. You know, and I'm like, damn it, I'm that guy. I'm, like, hollering at this 11-year-old kid because he's talking shit on the internet. And then I had to get off the video games, social media, all of it.
That's what ended your video game playing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't really end it. Mostly, it's my nerd games kind of ended it. And then kids, like, you don't have fucking time for anything when you got kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys were well aware of that. We tried to record a podcast one time. And, I mean, how long did that fucking take?
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I record with kids. I'm just saying.
I can hear them. You are better than me. That's the thing. I don't have an issue being less than anybody. Like, fucking care who people are. Like, I don't care if you're dick. You're still a dude. You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time now giving people, like, that. You know, everybody's like, somebody of his stature. And I'm like, that means nothing to me. Like, your stature doesn't mean fucking, you're just a dude with the same fucking genetic makeup as me, you know? It's weird. It's weird to put all that validation on people based off of, like, what they achieve in their life.
It is weird. You know, I had a situation where, like, it's super. This is like as adults. Like I feel like I had friends, right? Mm-hmm. And then somebody else came, and it's like that person was, you know, whatever. I didn't particularly like the guy, but it was like, oh, dude, like people were like, oh yeah, he's, you know, they got really enamored by this person, and it was so weird for me to be like, dude, what is wrong with you? You're like, you're enamored.
A fan of a person.
You're
man.
A fan of a person who's basically an equal. And it turned out he's kind of a piece of shit anyways. And he was like, oh, did you know he was a piece of shit? I was like, it's like, doesn't matter who he was.
Right.
You're the one that was like in love with.
You have to go through depression now, a disappointment, because you inflated your ideals of your image of him. You're going through stupid.
Well, to counter that goes back to like when Fez was like, yeah, you know, Floyd Mayweather is a fucking annoying piece of shit or whatever. It's like, same thing, but opposite. Like, you don't actually know the dude in person. So I feel like it's hard to tell.
But you can sense intent. You can always
absolutely
sense intent.
That's true. And that's true. But don't you think it comes, his shit has to come from some, like, I hate to be this dude, but like from some place of trauma, because why would you feel the need to do that?
Because,
you know?
Because the more Floyd Mayweather is a savvy, intelligent person. He realized right away that people want to see somebody they hate lose more than they want to see someone they like win.
Ooh, true. That's true.
And if you cannot recognize the genius of that man for always being the hated one,
Jake Paul and them are doing now too, right?
Yeah. And so like, Conor McGregor, the exact same thing. He was just this outrageous personality and you either loved him or you hated him. And the people who loved him wanted to see him win, and the people who hated him wanted to see him lose. But regardless, it drew him bigger crowds. That's why the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather thing was so great, because people who respected boxing wanted Conor McGregor to lose, but the people who disliked Floyd Mayweather wanted Conor McGregor to win. So hitting all of that emotional aspects of it.
Draw a huge fight. Controversy is great. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
And honestly, that was a really good, like, I liked that they did that. But the thing that bothers me is like, like Floyd Mayweather afterwards talking all the shit. I'm like, you know, talk your shit. I get it. But until you go and take him on his sport, like, you kind of got to check yourself.
But
you know
he never
like,
challenged
no.
him, though.
Danny, you're thinking about the fights.
Ooh.
You're not thinking about
you're too
the
close.
Business.
Ooh,
that's what
I'm thinking about the business.
Thank you.
He,
I had an argument
wins,
about this with somebody before.
He wins and then he talks shit. You hate him more.
Exactly.
If he won and he was a classy person, like, okay, he's not that bad.
No, I realize for him, but what I'm saying is by doing that, why wouldn't they set up for the MMA fight? You know, like
he's like 50 and Conor McGregor would destroy him there. He doesn't want to give you like you are the person he's targeting. You're like, well, it's
the
not
marketing
fair. It's
is
that.
To you. The marketing is to
the
you.
Person. I guess you're right. I mean, that makes sense.
And he already got you. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just wanted to say, fuck you, Fez. That's it. I was just.
He ain't got me. Ain't nobody got me.
I don't got shit.
I don't watch the fighting. I don't do that. But what I was training with about the Floyd Mayweather, it was amazing how this person that so many people dislike. Like they're like even you may not like, oh, I don't hate him, but you dislike things about him, you automatically took his side. And that's what I'm saying is those brothers are so great at their own marketing because they're doing the exact same thing, but at another level. They're fantastic at it. And if you can't see that they're bringing in like these crowds with their controversy, you can't see their business. And it's genius.
No, I realize that. I'm not taking away anything from that. Like me personally, I don't think it's Floyd Mayweather. That's like, I think somebody's coaching him. Like the dude can't hardly read. I don't think he's this type of genius, but like, I get
Time out. You can't say literacy is the only type of intelligence. There are so many
not.
Different types
of, course
types of intelligence. Just because he's illiterate doesn't mean he doesn't have business savvy.
Of course.
Literacy didn't exist in the 1800s and people created businesses.
You know who the most successful people were when literacy became a thing? The literate ones. You cannot argue that communication is not the most valuable skill that we possess in society.
Whoa,
it's like
this
it's
is a good
undeniable.
Conversation.
Without communication, you can't do shit. That's why other animals are fucking inferior to us. Their means of communication are so much beneath us.
Communication and literacy
I understand what you're saying, but you are not going to find a person that is incredibly intelligent that is illiterate. It will not fucking happen, but you can find it the other way around. You're talking about autistic savants and shit.
No, like, I am not. Danny, you need to look it up. There's more than one type of intelligence. I am literate. I am a smart person. I understand what my capabilities are. You pop the hood of a truck or a car, I become a retard. There's nothing in there that I understand.
I talk to my friend about this all the time. There is no one person that's more intelligent than another in that regard.
But hold on, just let me get this out.
Sorry,
just because I am literate doesn't mean I'm capable of everything and better than everything at somebody. Just because he's not as savvy with
Pause on that thought.
What, dude? You didn't even let me finish.
I gotta hit that one spot
okay.
I'm gonna forget the thought. My bad. Go ahead.
Because they're not what you think as intelligent doesn't allow you to discount everything else about them. And I think that's very arrogant. That's all I'm saying.
True. But with literacy, you now possess the skill to learn the thing you did not learn before. If you did not have said literacy, you have to be shown how to do something or do it by yourself. If you are not capable of doing it by yourself and you can't communicate, you can't learn how to do more things. That is what, like, when you measure IQ, short-term memory and reading comprehension and all those things are swayed so heavily because they dictate the way a brain can learn. You're talking intellect and like there's data and then there's knowledge, right? There's like the information, then there's the interpretation of said information. And like with those skills, you have the ability to do better. Like I'm not arguing that like, just because I think that reading books helps me learn, I'm not arguing and saying that somebody that doesn't read books is going to be dumber than me, because somebody is going to know, like a gardener is going to be able to keep themselves alive for longer than me if the world fucking ends, right? Because like they know how to do that stuff.
Floyd Mayweather already has a literacy for fighting. A literacy that most people can't get. When somebody flexes a muscle,
He's mastered it, yeah.
The only other thing he needs for his career is to get people to the fight. How does he do that? Reading a book, doing that, or becoming hated? It doesn't matter how genius he gets. It doesn't matter how many books he studies. He already found a way to get people to the fight. First off, he's a champion. Secondly, he figured out a way. He doesn't need to be literate. He doesn't need to do this. He already outclassed every person.
Okay.
That's it. Hands down. You don't need according everything.
I'm not arguing with anything you say.
No one is arguing that literacy isn't important. No one's arguing that literacy isn't important for communication. But
Not at all. I am not devaluing his accomplishment. He is the world's best boxer. He's the only boxer to do what he has done. Like, I am not going to discount that. And personally, I like his counterboxing style. Like, everybody's like, oh, all he does is run away. Like, I am a Floyd Mayweather fan. Don't get me wrong. Like, just because I say I don't think he's that smart. Like, I think...
But you're saying...
That's like saying Donald Trump is smart because he's successful. Do you believe that that's a true statement?
Daniel, what you said was he can't be the one doing this because he's too dumb. That is what you said. And that
that's pretty pointed. And I still stand by it.
Yeah, and this is, like I said, this is redeeming qualities. We can disagree something completely and still be okay with each other. And I just say...
The redeeming quality in that is that at least the dude, like you said, it doesn't take one type of intellect to make it in life. Like, It doesn't. You can know. Is Mark over there spraying his plants?
Yeah, sorry, man.
Mark's over there just with a little bit of popcorn, like, oh, these two are at it.
Me and Fez are yelling at each other, and Mark's over here spritzing his plants.
I was just like, y'all know how to read? No, I'm sorry.
All right. Jesus, I don't even know where we start. We
Dude, that sucks. That was a tangent. Topics. My phone was dying, you know, so I put it on the charger.
I got a topic here. Did you guys look at that financial calculator that I sent out to you guys?
The countdown for the debt?
Yes.
I saw it briefly, and it's fucking disturbing.
I did see that.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Okay, that's what I wanted to talk about. That thing just terrified me. Like, I don't know why. Like, somebody sent it to me, like, have you seen this? I was like, no, I haven't. But it, just so everybody knows, it's the usdebtclock.org. And basically, it's a counting of our national debt. And you just get to see, like, $1 million get added, like, every second to our debt.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy, like, how fast that money's going. And it barely touches into the billions.
Well, like, and then it shows the expenditures, too, of, like, what, you know, like, the amount of obligatory, like, capital that they have to have on hand to pay what they owe, you know? And, like, you see that number is climbing while the debt number is still, it sucks. Like, it's scary to see. And that is why I believe, that's the only reason why I believe we are the world's superpower when it comes to military. Because we owe everybody some money, and when they come knocking, we're like that little bitch in the gym that, like, has been getting picked on all through high school. He's just training to whoop the bully's ass one day. Like, that's what I feel like, because we owe so much money that the only thing we could do right now, like, why we're owned by China, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what's gonna happen? Like, how does China get their money if we're like, I'm not gonna give it to you? Like, they got to come over and take it, right? So
yeah.
I feel like that's why we have a crazy military presence.
And that's a crazy part that, you know, you bring up on that, is because we always hear these numbers get thrown around. It's like the U.S. national debt is at 28 trillion. And everyone's like, well, that's a huge number. But the U.S. total debt is 86 trillion. It's like, what the hell? Like, so we're, I don't even just looking at these numbers, I don't even understand where, like, it's coming from. How this is even a possibility. The number is just constantly moving rapidly.
It makes me question money in the first place. Like, I'm not dumb when it comes to, like, how money works necessarily, but, like, the whole premise of money and the fact that, like, it's not actually even a thing, it's just we choose for it to be. It's so mind-blowing to see, like, okay, here's this huge debt and all this stuff. When you look at this clock, and you're like, fuck, this is crazy. But then realistically, you think about it, and none of it actually matters in the grand scheme of life.
Dude,
so it's weird. Money's weird.
I watched this TikTok video. And once, you know what? I don't consider TikTok social media because I'm not reading anything. It's just a bunch of videos. And I talked a lot of shit about it. So everybody who's heard this, heard me talk shit. I'm on TikTok now, and it's enjoyable. I don't care what you say. But I watched a video and it was like, here's the crazy part about money. So let's just say there's a town where, you know, everybody owes each other $100, and a new person comes to that town and goes to the motel owner. It's like, hey, I want to rent a room for a night. It's $100. So he pays that hotel owner. That hotel owner goes, you know what? I owe the baker $100. So he goes, gives that money to the baker. The baker's like, oh, this is perfect. This is just enough money to go pay the farmer for the stuff that I owe him. And the farmer's like, oh, perfect. I owed the motel owner $100, and he gives that money to the hotel owner. And then let's say they had a 100% refund rate, and the guy that came into town's like, you know what? I didn't like my stay here. I want a refund. And he takes his $100 back. So when he showed up to town, the total debt in that, or, you know, like a very small town, was $300. His $100 eliminated all the debt, and he didn't even spend it. It's crazy because money is an idea, and it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And I just think that's it's just like, it is an idea. Our
people do that all
idea.
The time. People do that all the time. You know that, right? Like, get the whole stay, get everything in this. People constantly get Postmates and then say, yo, my food never came. And they ate. That
really
thing. Yes. That happens all the time. And they get their bread back. So now you're like, that's, and it sounds like only one time, but there's people that do that a lot. There's people that live their entire lives not really ever spending money, getting money back. And I lose so much more money because I'm not somebody that, first off, I stay calm. Look, one of the things that happened, my cousin, we went to do the shooting shit, and his hotel room wasn't at the same place mine was. They tried to keep us separate, and so they had him at another one. And so he very precisionly, now looking at it, got himself pissed off and called and got a room change, right? That never worked for me, bro. No, I don't get myself mad enough, but like, I can't get refunds on the phone, bro. I never can get money back.
Really?
When something fucked up happens to me, no matter how hard I call and complain, they just either try and offer me credit or just say they can't do it every time. And it's like, I don't know what I need to do, bro. I don't know. Like, I guess I don't yell enough, or I sound too calm and understanding or weak or some shit. But like,
see, I did the calm approach and I have the opposite. Like, I feel like those people get yelled at all the time, you know?
Calm too. They don't give a fuck, bro. Really? It's like, you're calm, fuck you, dude. Like, we don't care. It's not worked enough. That's how it happens for me. Like, no matter what. And when I have girlfriends and they're bitches, they'll like call and get my money back. They're like, oh no, we're not doing this. And then they fucking go crazy. They don't they don't yell, but they just like very sternly, angrily call and annoying the fuck. Annoying. You just want to shut them the fuck up, you know? Yeah. So that's more why they get paid. And I think my voice is just too sultry. You know,
that's the problem.
You're too understanding. Like, you feel bad because you've been on that side. You're like, man, I don't want to make this person's day.
Yeah,
bad.
I don't want to inconvenience you.
And at that point, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to talk to my wife, and then my wife is gonna fix it because I married a boss. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's what I. That's no that's true. Me. I have to. I don't know. Like sometimes it's like, men are aggressive differently than women, and like it's crazy. Like, you know, there's like a physical aggressive, but then there's just like that ability to just get your way over the phone, and I just can't do that.
Because women can handle their shit though. Like, honestly, like when it comes down to it, I think as dudes, the whole like men are the shit thing is just like that ego bred into us. Because when I think about things like, a woman 90% of the time is more likely to get a good result out of something. Plus they're like more kind in the process without having to like hurt people's feelings and shit. Like me personally, I am going to be more inclined to be really polite and nice to a woman. Like I've never really worked in hospitality or anything, but I would imagine that like women with that nurturing nature would elevate. If you think about the entire world, if every country's leader was a woman, do you think we'd be like chucking missiles at each other all the fucking time?
Okay, wait. People are people. So I feel like, I watched this lady on the bus, on the plane the other day. Like, she said, first of all, a baby was sat right next to me on the plane coming home, and I was about to be fucking pissed and like annoyed, like just because you hear that babies are awful on planes. But I watched this lady, like, this baby was fussing, and like it was just fussing and frustrated and wanted to get up and move and was bouncing, and she like was trying to get things out of her bag, and she actually like, can you hold her for a second, and sat the baby on my lap, and like,
what?
Yes, bro. The baby like pulled my mask off and pulled my dread and like laughed, and it was the coolest shit ever. And then I handed the baby back, and the baby just starts like trying to bounce out of her lap for like 20 minutes, and she just sat there and like gently wrestled with this baby and bounced it continuously and loved it and looked at it and bounced it and talked to it and bounced with it until the baby went right the fuck to sleep, bro.
Exactly.
It was like wrestling. It was like it was like motherly jujitsu, bro. Watching this happen. And
then nurturing and calm the whole, like, it's, I think
intense,
it's a mother's
deliberate
love.
Yes. It was magic, right? Okay, cool. That is what a mother can do. I don't think that all, but that's a good mother and a skill and some badass shit. And quite frankly, we all would have had to happen it to us for us to grow up. And that's something I forget. Somebody did that to me.
when I was a baby, and I'm here, and they didn't drop me on my fucking head, and we all have, and we act like women and mothers are not fucking badass, and I need to say that shit, that fucking thank you to all the mothers, right? Okay.
Exactly.
But there's also some cunts out there, too, that if you were a leader, in leader position, they would blow up the fucking world if they had, because they have
ass. That's true.
Yes. So, like, not all of them are naturing, and that's not something
that's true. I just
thank you for that.
Mark, I love it.
I loved how you painted this sweet moment.
Women are the shit. And then like, but some are bitches.
It's the truth, though. Mark, you painted this beautiful moment just to say the word cunt. And I... Bravo, sir.
Oh, I you know, that. Thank you. Oh, yes, thanks, man. That
is, like, it was in the back of your mind the entire time. Like, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
I'm going to drop him. I got him sweet and warmed up. Then I beat him down like some biscuits. And now.
Beat him down like some biscuits.
They're ready.
I don't know if you know my face. Like, you can't see my face, but I was just sitting there like, listen. And my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, yeah. I did not. You took a turn.
I quit,
you zagged. And I was like, direction. So, you know what? You're right. Well, women can be sweet. They can also can be terrible. You just gotta find the right one. That's it.
It's almost wrong to generalize and say if a woman, if the right woman was there.
True.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That
but then you could just flip that to cocktail. The right man and
right, that, yeah. Yes. And people exactly. People. The right cocktail of personality and trauma and fucking everything can turn into fucking a amazing Nobel Peace Prize winner or a fucking Hitler. Like, it just depends on what your personality built up, the experience in your fucking life, who you actually are, the archetypes that you've played in life. That's
can we
what
like
it really
change
comes
the
out.
Hitler one to like a Stalin or something?
Stalin,
like we're just like targeting me all the time.
No, Idi Amin. Idi Amin. Even who's African? That motherfucker was awful.
Can we tap into this UAPs thing? Do you have time?
I gotta go, dude. That mom thing, man. That was my last little shit, man. I love you guys.
All right, bro.
All right, I love it too, Daniel. Let's go ahead and do this.
Peace,
let's go do an outro.
All right. Thanks, everybody. This has been the Redeeming Qualities podcast. I'm Dirty Dan. We have Musty Mark and Fat Ass Fez. Thank you for listening.
You can ask us questions at the Instagram Redeeming Qualities podcast. And yeah, hit us up and ask us any questions that you want to. Give us any topics. We're willing to discuss anything. So thank you, everybody.
We're out.
All right.